is from Amos chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, they hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell on them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we'll read Psalm 90 responsively. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil.
Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us.
Yes, establish the work of our hands. The second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at the 12th verse. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by this deceitfulness of sin. And for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise as we are able for the hearing of our Lord's Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Do we have kids that are going to come up? Here we go. Here we've got a few. I didn't see some of the real little ones tonight, so I was getting nervous. I got a couple here. That's good. Come on up. We've got time for a children's message tonight, and tonight we're actually going to talk about time, because the psalm that we read, it says Help us, O Lord, to remember our days that we may get a wise heart. So Psalm 90 is all about paying attention to time, right? And I was going to bring a clock, but then I realized all I needed was my phone because, you know, you have a phone, for example, and you see what this is? It's like a little hourglass. It's a timer, right?
Yep.
Have you ever used a timer for anything? You know, like, let's say you're going to make popcorn. So you put the microwave at a certain time because if you don't put it to enough time, it's not going to pop. And if you do it, I suppose, too much time, it'll burn, right? Or like cookies in the oven. Or you don't want some food coming out of the oven being raw. And so you set a timer so you can literally, I suppose, you see, we're watching time just fly right by, aren't we? It started out, it was a minute, now there's 25 seconds. You see, time just passes by. Or sometimes we talk about how we're on the clock, right? Or the clock is ticking. So if the clock is ticking, on the one hand, it means that it's working, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it also means that it's passing away. You see how time is passing away? The clock is ticking. You hear that? Time's up, right? Time's up. Do you use a timer on your phone ever? You know, like sometimes with school, kids might say, okay, I need to read for 30 minutes. Or you guys have probably never experienced this, but sometimes kids get a timeout.
Yes.
You ever have a timeout?
Yes.
Yeah, that happens with my grandkids. They get a timeout, and so we set the timer or the clock on the stove, and then they need to go in their room and kind of think about what they said or think about what they did, right? In the morning, we pay attention to the clock because some of the days I walk Nora and Scarlett to the bus, and if we don't watch the time, you know what would happen?
We'd be late for the bus.
We'd be late for the bus. If you're late for the bus, then you got to figure out another way to get to school, right? Exactly. So we want to pay attention to time, and the psalm says, pay attention to the time. Help us, O Lord, to number our days so that we may have a wise heart. When I was out in Tacoma, Washington this past week, there was a woman that I visited. She's in her 80s. Her name is Jan Elmer. And Jan was telling me what happened. She put an egg in a pan of water on the stove, and she was heating it up so she could have a hard-boiled egg. And then she walked away. And she started doing some sewing and stuff like that, and she forgot all about the egg. You know what happened? The water eventually evaporated. And then you had this hard-boiled egg in there, and it got so hot that it exploded. Exactly. And there was little pieces of egg all over the ceiling and all over the walls. It was like a piece of dynamite in there, right? And then I visited and stayed with a couple named Jim and Ann Leidy. And you know what they do every Wednesday?
What?
Every single Wednesday, they have a date day. So that's time that they set aside just for the two of them with nobody interrupting. Time. So in the Bible, they said if you get 70 or 80 years, then you've gotten a lot of time. But the clock is ticking, right? And you're getting older, and people we love, they die, and if they believe in Jesus, they go to heaven, right? So what do you think God wants us to do with the time we have? What do you think? Do you think he wants us to use it well or poorly?
Well.
Yeah, I think he wants us to use it well. In fact, some people think that when the timer goes off, that's it. Game over, right? But God has a surprise for us. He sent Jesus to the cross so that when our time is up here on earth, we who believe in Jesus get another gift of time. You know what that time is called? It's called eternal life, right? And that is how long?
Forever.
That's forever time. Let's pray together, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for the gift of time.
Thank you for the gift of time.
Thank you for the gift of eternal time.
Thank you for the gift of eternal time.
Help us to remember our days.
Help us to
and give us a wise heart.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for coming up. Whoa. And they say you can't teach an old dog a new trick, huh? Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Time like an ever-flowing stream soon finds us all. We're gone. We fly forgotten like a dream that dies at opening day. We fly forgotten as a dream when the clock that is ticking has run its course and time is up. We measure things so often by time, like if you're a football fanatic, you know that there's four quarters and each quarter is being kept in terms of time when the clock is ticking and when it stops or when there's a time out. And after four 15-minute quarters, the game is over, unless it's tied, in which case, well, they're going to give you a little more time. But even if it's tied after 15 more minutes, that's the end, and it ends in a tie. Or you have shot clocks if you watch the NBA, and you have to get the shot off within a certain amount of time. Some of you may remember that game show on TV called Password. You know, or sometimes you have little board games where you have this little hourglass. But on Password, you had a certain amount of time to give clues to your partner, and they needed to guess, and how many words could you get, and could you win and claim the prize? Time, like an ever-flowing stream, soon bears us all away. So what are we doing with our time? Did you know that there are 86,400 seconds in a day? Every day that goes by means that you've just lost 86,400 seconds that you can't get back. Now, the psalmist says that if we live to 70, we've lived a good life, and maybe God will even give us to 80. Did you know that if you live to 70, you will have lived not only 70 years, but 36,792 minutes? That's a long time. So what are we doing with the time that God gives us as the time is expiring? And in light of our gospel reading for tonight and our psalm, is that all you want, is 70 or 80 years? Or do you want eternal time? I mean, you've heard this man who came up to Jesus and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal time, eternal life, eternal presence of Almighty God? So the clock is ticking. And Beth loved to run. And she had a passion for long-distance running and marathons. So her family and her friends said, you should see if you could qualify for the 1992 Olympics in the marathon. And to qualify, you had to run 26.2 miles in 2 hours and 45 minutes or less. And so she prepared and rigorously did her running, and then she did the trial. It was time to run the race, and she was doing great for the first 23 miles. And then she kind of hit a wall, and then she began to struggle. And when she got to 2 hours and 43 minutes, she was on the home stretch. and she collapsed. She was down on the ground, kneeling on her face, exhausted. She had 2 minutes to get on the home stretch. She was about 200 yards away from the finish line. And someone in the crowd said, "Get up!" And then pretty soon it became a chant. "Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up." And Bethann got up. And with whatever energy she had left, she was walking and limping her way toward the finish line. And when she was 5 yards away from the finish line and 10 seconds, she fell again. And the crowd said, "Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, get up, don't quit, don't stop, get up, get up." And she did. And she crawled across the finish line. And her time was 2 hours and 44 minutes and 57 seconds. Time matters. She qualified by 3 ticks of the clock. Time, like an ever-flowing stream, soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Jesus, in Mark 8, 9, and 10, is on a journey that has a destination. It's the cross of Calvary. And as he is journeying toward the cross and toward the redemption and salvation of those whom God loves, 3 times he says, "The Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man," is going up to Jerusalem to die and rise. The passion predictions. And he also teaches the crowds and the disciples about following Messiah, discipleship, and the cost. But the disciples have a hard time understanding. And so Jesus is setting out on this journey. He's on a journey, and as he is on this journey toward the destination of the cross, there is a man, a nameless man. We don't even find out how old this man is, but evidently he is beyond his youth. And he runs up to Jesus, and he kneels before him, which I think is interesting. Because whatever is on this man's mind, there is an element of urgency. He's not crawling, he's not walking, he's running. And there's also the gift of reverence. He kneels before Jesus. Maybe he's been reading Psalm 90. "Teach us to number our days that we may get a wise heart." Time is flying by. The clock is ticking. And this man apparently is aware of this reality. And so he's running and kneeling. And then he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want more than 70 or 80 years. What do I need to do?" And Jesus, as you noticed, answers a question with a question. "Why in the world do you call me good?" Because you and I both know there's only one person who's good: God. Now, you're not suggesting, are you, or perhaps confessing, are you, that I am God? Jesus says. And then he continues his conversation, because you see, there's an end game here. This man, as pious and as religious and I suppose as favorably good as he is, can only see Jesus as a good teacher. And that's not going to get him saved. Jesus says, "You know the law." I mean, throughout this journey to the cross, he keeps reciting Torah, the words of Moses. "You know the words of Moses. You've memorized the words of Moses. You know the Decalogue, the 10 words, the 10 commandments. And then he starts to recite some of them. Jesus says, you know, don't murder, don't covet, don't steal, don't kill. And the man says, I've obeyed every one of these ever since I was a kid. Now, I can almost picture Jesus saying, good for you. But I think instead he would have said, good for your neighbor. Because you see, there are two tables to the Decalogue. And every single one of the commandments that Jesus recites is from table two, which is the love of the neighbor, which is the love and the care of those for whom God created and Jesus died for. So the tricky thing is, how do you move from table two to table one? Because Martin Luther said in the Large Catechism, talking about the first commandment, that which we fear, love, and trust the most is our God. There's no such thing as an atheist, Luther said, because we've all got gods in our lives. So Jesus says, you know how close you are? Do you know how close you are to salvation? I mean, think about this. I mean, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, right? Do you know how close you are to the saving grace of God? You see? The body and blood of Christ given and shed for you. Do you know? Jesus says, you only lack one thing. That's how close you are. He can taste it, right? You've been there. You're so close, you can taste it. And what happens? Jesus says, the one thing? Go. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. This is how you have heavenly treasure. Oh. You know, close only counts in horseshoes, you know, and close but no cigar, and all that kind of stuff. And this man walks away with great sorrow because he has great possessions. I mean, Jesus looks at him. Jesus loves this man, not because he's been so good. Not even because he's been so good to his neighbor. No, Jesus loves this man because Jesus loves sinners and dies for sinners. Because God loves his creation and wants his creation reconciled and redeemed. He's so close. And he walks away, grieving, filled with sorrow. Well, the second half of this story is in next week's gospel. But in tonight's gospel, what must I do? Good question. Because this man does not want just the good fortune, the luck of the draw, if you will, of maybe 70 or 80 years here on earth. He's the one that called Jesus good teacher. He's the one that ran. He's the one that knelt. He's the one that asked the question, and Jesus gave it to him. The answer maybe that he wasn't looking for. Now, you know from Mark 8, 9, and 10, Jesus has a lot of hard words. In fact, a lot of preachers would probably just as soon the last few weeks not be preaching or taking some time off. Or I've noticed in some congregations, quite frankly, the preachers are not preaching on the assigned lessons. They try to find something that doesn't scratch so hard. Hard words, right? I mean, you remember a couple weeks ago, Jesus says, well, if your foot causes you to sin, just amputate it. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. I mean, you want to go to hell with all your body parts, or you want to go to heaven missing a few limbs? That's Jesus. So, I had a man named Chet Nordeen in my first parish. A devout man, good farmer, Sunday school superintendent, dairy farmer, milked the cows, got to church early, and then got everything ready for Sunday school. I mean, just an amazing guy. And he's sitting in the adult study, and we're looking at this text, and he says, you know, Pastor, I got a question. What do you think Jesus meant? I said, what do you mean? Well, when he told this guy to go and sell everything that he has, what do you think he meant? He wasn't being literal, was he? You know what I told Chet? I said, I think Jesus meant exactly what he said. And I left it at that. What's going to be God in our lives? I mean, a week and a half ago at the men's Bible study, Don may recall this because as the guys were leaving at the end of the study, I said, you know, we're all going to die. I mean, if nobody's told you this, you're going to die. The question is, are you going to die for Jesus or are you going to die for nothing? That's the only two choices you have, folks. And a lot of people are probably not going to be honest enough to tell you the truth. But that's the truth. Everybody's going to die. The clock is ticking. And you're either going to live and die for Jesus or you're going to live and die for nothing. And I told you it. Because Jesus told us the truth in our scriptures for tonight. I mean, Jesus sang with his disciples. He prayed with his disciples the Psalter, the Psalms. They knew Psalm 90. This man who was exceedingly rich, who had great possessions, when in truth the great possessions had him. The great possessions had him. And so then a person dies, and who's going to have it all? For what? You see why the psalmist says, teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may get a wise heart? You see? Chet was a good man, as goodness in this world goes. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You got to be good, but no one's good but God alone. So God's going to have to give you his goodness. He's going to have to impute and clothe you with the righteousness of himself, his son, Jesus. That's the only way we get in, by grace alone. I was reading a story this past week about a Buddhist monk who this is like 2,000 years ago, the setting is, but he was sitting every day outside the temple, and every day he was going with this chant, Buddha, 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 on and on, day after day, week after week, month after month, trying to obtain grace for himself. And the head priest of the temple saw him. And so one day he came and he sat next to him, and he had a brick in one hand and a stone in the other. And he just sat there, and he started rubbing the two together. The first day, the second day, the second week, the third week. And this Buddhist monk who kept going, Buddha, 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 he stopped and he looked at this leader, this head priest of the temple, and he said, so what are you doing? And the head priest said, I'm trying to make a mirror out of this brick. And the Buddhist monk said, but that's impossible. You can't do it. Of course it's impossible. And so is the belief that by endless chance you can obtain grace. Well, we're not Buddhists, but we all know that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. What do you need to do? Well, confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What do you need to do? Well, believe and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What do we need to do? Well, just use the ears God has given us to hear the word that creates faith, that gives eternity. Endless time with Jesus. And then, let's just imagine what could happen as we lived and prayed Psalm 90. And as we heard the words of Jesus, go, sell, give, come, follow. Whoever would be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake and the kingdom, the gospel, will save it. What will it profit a person? Gain the whole world. Forfeit your soul? The clock is ticking. Well, a man named Richard went to a facility that cared for those that had some mental disabilities. And they were playing a game of bingo, he, his wife, some other couples from the church, and they were helping the residents that were there. And there was a young man in his early 20s, and Richard was helping him, you know, with the markers that you put as they call the numbers for bingo. And this young man couldn't speak. And some of the other couples were a little uncomfortable in this environment. They weren't exactly used to it and stuff. Communication was difficult. But Richard realized that this young man was still able to understand what was going on and stuff. And this young man kept looking at Richard's belt and buckle. It was a big, beautiful, silver buckle that had some stones in it and stuff. I mean, it was expensive. It was a souvenir that Richard had gotten when he'd gone with his wife on a trip out west. And this young man, in his early 20s, was looking at this buckle, you know. And so Richard started telling him the story. He said, my wife and I went on a trip, and this is what we did, and this is where I got it at. He was explaining, and this is the symbol here. This is what it means, that's engraved. And this young man was just kind of glowing and so interested. And all of a sudden, Richard took the belt off. He said, here, let me put it on you. And gave it to this young man. And one of the other guys, one of these couples that was there, he walks up to Richard as they're leaving that night, and he says, what in the world possessed you? I mean, you wear that thing every cotton-picking day. It's your pride and your joy. I mean, it's an expensive souvenir. Why did you give it to that young man? And Richard looked at him and he said, because it's just a belt buckle. And did you see the joy that it gave to that young man? Because when he put it on, when Richard put it on that young man, the young man was beaming from ear to ear and he was clapping his hands. And he gave a hug that was vigorous to Richard. It's just a belt buckle. And did you see the joy that it gave him? Time, like an ever-rolling, flowing stream, it bears us all away. We fly not forgotten, like a dream that dies at the opening day. You are remembered in Christ Jesus. You don't fly forgotten like a dream. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And so we pray. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may get a wise heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.